Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplementation. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. PER and polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAS for short, thank goodness, are found in water to the extent that 100% of the population has measurable PFAS in their blood. Well, what are PFAS? PFAS are synthetic chemicals that are used in many products such as fire and heat retardants and oil and stain-resistant products. Teflon coating in cookware is the best example of the use of PFAS and why getting rid of that cookware is a good idea. Because they are chemically stable, PFAS are called forever chemicals. The problem is that there are known health issues associated with being exposed to PFAS. Among them are a reduction in immune response and an increased risk of infections of the liver as well as kidney damage, increased risk of cholesterol and high blood pressure, as well as issues related to reproductive health. There may be more specific issues with other organs and organ systems. Research continues. But the question is this: if they really are forever chemicals, will they stay in our bodies forever? There is no known detoxification system that directly eliminates PFAS from the liver, but there may be hope based on a few recent studies. The issue with forever chemicals, particularly PFAS, is that we can't avoid exposure, especially because they're found in the water supply. That's why a couple of recent studies provide some hope that a solution can be found in the foods we eat, specifically fiber. So the first study examined oat fiber, cholesterol, and PFAS. Canadian researchers examined the blood of 72 men who participated in the use of oat fiber called beta-glucan to lower cholesterol. It did that. But they re-examined the blood samples taken for that study for PFAS levels collected before and after taking the fiber supplement for 4 weeks. They found that those taking the fiber showed reduced levels of some forms of the PFAS in their blood. Now look, that's a very short study, and while done with a different purpose in mind, it still provided some direction for future research. The types of fiber and the forms of PFAS that can be affected still need to be determined, but as I said, it provides direction. So the second study, inulin, PFAS, and your liver. Researchers began with several questions for this study in mice. First, was the damage caused by these PFAS passed from mother to pups? Second, could adding a form of fiber called inulin to the diet of the pups reduce the damage from PFAS exposure? The answer to the first question was yes. Both liver damage and damage to the microbiome of the mice and their offspring were confirmed. Second, did the use of inulin fiber reduce and reverse the damage to both the liver and to the microbiome, the probiotics in the gut? The answer again was yes. Look, this was a rodent study, and humans are not rodents. However, it's apparent that fiber supplementation was beneficial in reversing at least some of the damage caused by PFAS. Combining this with that earlier study, this is the direction that should be pursued by further research. These two studies illustrate the benefit of basic research. It's a beginning stage. We don't yet know the complete mechanism of action of the fiber in relation to the microbiome and how all that works with eliminating PFAS from our body, or even whether other types of fiber would work as well. As time goes on, if the research can go on, we'll know more. But to me, we already have the direction in the recommendation of getting 25 to 35 grams of fiber every day. Fruits, vegetables, beans, nuts, and grains will provide us with the fiber we need every day, and a fiber supplement will give you extra insurance for those days when you eat as well as you should. If we start doing it now, we can wait for the research to catch up to our healthy lifestyle. But fiber just may be the solution to the PFAS we're unavoidably exposed to each and every day. Let's switch gears a little. I recently watched a documentary about a weight loss game show that was very popular about 25 years ago and lasted for 17 seasons. You probably remember it, The Biggest Loser. The show was one Paulie and I watched for a number of seasons, but eventually we lost interest as the show became more bizarre and more unrealistic. The documentary was challenging to watch for a variety of reasons. The brutality of the trainers, the absurd challenges that demean the contestants as human beings, and the constant conflict between contestants. It was not enjoyable. According to the documentary, after the winner was announced, the people who had lost hundreds of pounds were left to fend for themselves. They essentially had left reality behind to live on less than 1,000 calories per day and to be able to exercise up to 6 hours or more a day for close to a year, and then nothing. No plan for how to transition to a normal life again. No explanation from dietitians or trainers how to adapt to maintain their weight loss. And believe me, the trainers, one would not be interviewed for the show, and the other found that there was nothing wrong with the way that he treated his subjects. In reality, it's happening again right now with people who are using GLP-1 injections to control blood sugar and lose weight. If you're going to try these meds, you should plan an exit strategy well before you're done losing the weight. The same planning as what the weight loss contestants should have been provided. How can you do that on your own if the healthcare professional doesn't? Remember the episode about the physician who lost weight by eating the same portions as his wife was eating from last season? He actually lost the weight by using a GLP-1 agonist, but knew that he needed a plan to maintain the weight loss. And he did. The plan was to eat like his wife ate, and it has still remained what he does today. I saw him again a little while ago, and he's maintained his weight loss well. No matter what program or strategy you use to lose weight and get fit, you'll be more successful at maintaining your weight loss if you work on the exit strategy well before you're even done losing the weight. Are you willing to eat the same foods you ate during the process, or have you been depriving yourself of things you know you want to eat again? How can you fit your favorite foods into your new eating plan? The worst thing that you can do is go back to your old way of eating. Have you been doing extra exercise to get there? What are you willing to continue after you're done? If you go back to your old sedentary way of life, you'll probably go back to your old weight. Whatever your strategy will be, it has to be something you're willing to do for the rest of your life. But you have the chance to plan ahead. That plan may change as you progress, but it's easier to adjust a plan you've already worked out than to come up with one out of thin air. As the saying goes, failing to plan is planning to fail. Get your exit strategy together today. And that's all the time I have for this episode. If you like this podcast, please hit the share button and tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Salasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.